Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CADcast episode number 382. I am your host, GPD, here in Tokyo, Japan. Of course, as always, we're joined. I didn't plan anything today. I just had a traumatic event happen. What was
so traumatic that you can't say Wombat?
Wombat. Well, Wombat and Shipwreck are here. But nothing clever is in my mind besides those.
What happened? That was so traumatic.
It's going to be a great show today.
My mind is a blank. I was walking home from Tokyo American Club, and I was walking down one of the side streets, and I was jamming out probably to the song that you're listening to right now, audience. I'm doing my little like walking / shuffle dance,
and like John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever,
kinda. Because you figure like you're a big white guy here, people are looking at you anyway, so you might as well give them something to look at, right? So I'm just walking down a side street. And, you know, got the headphones on, music blasting, and I see something, like, weird out of the corner of my eye, and I take a look, and it, like, startled me, and I look down, and it's a homeless guy sleeping in front of somebody's house. Now, you don't have a lot of homeless people here, so just to see, like, a homeless guy at all is a little unnerving or just unusual, unlike New York, I'm sure. So I guess this is something.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to get used to that again.
The problem is this guy, and I've seen this guy around before, and he is like the dirtiest homeless guy I've ever seen. Even compared to New York homeless people, like he's brown. He's a Japanese guy, but he's dark brown from dirt. Okay, so this guy is passed out and literally on somebody's doorstep, in front of their house, and his his clothes are, you know, his clothes are basically, you know, mostly rags, especially his pants around the groin area. He basically has no front to his pants, and he has no underwear. And I got a full on view of this guy's dirty, uncircumcised dick, and I think I'm scarred for life, basically. And it was, I don't know, I can't get that vision. You know those, like, that toy that they used to have where it was like a...
I don't remember this toy.
It was like filled with...
I don't remember.
It
dirty
was filled
dick,
with water.
Dirty bum dick. Dirty bum dick?
It was filled with water or something. And when you tried to hold on to it, it would just like slide out of your hands.
Yeah, so...
Why were you trying to hold on? What were you trying to hold on to?
No. I'm just saying this is what it looked like.
I know the toy you're referring to.
Yeah, I don't know what
it is. Yeah, they sell them in Walgreens.
Right.
Slippery snake thing.
So imagine that, but brown, and just like staring at me in the face.
I'd rather not. I've seen worse, by the way.
What have you seen that's worse than that?
Okay, I was once walking to work. This has to be 11 years ago, maybe. I was walking to, but I remember it clear as day. Walking to work in Manhattan, and I'm walking, and there's a woman standing between two cars, completely bottomless.
Okay.
Nothing from the waist down.
Okay.
Taking a liquid shit in the middle of the street. Okay. And screaming, "Nobody look at me. Nobody look at me."
Did you look at her? You did, obviously.
I mean, it was very clear that she... I mean,
you didn't want you to look at her.
She had some manners there. Like, she was trying to be civil about it. I mean...
Yeah, that is okay. You might win, but see, here's where you may not win, because the way that this guy was situated, like he was in front of this dude's house, and it's a very, you know, small street. So I was really only maybe 5 feet away from the guy because I didn't see him. He was hidden by the corner of the building next to him, so I didn't notice him until I was literally 5 feet away from him. And at that point, it's too late, and I'm looking at this guy's dirty dong. Anyway, oh my gosh. That was just like so wrong. I don't know how this happens. Anyway, I have a fun game for you guys to play. Okay, it's called the parenting game.
Can't wait. I already lost.
How old is Sabrina?
Sabrina is six.
She's a little younger than Ty, right?
Yeah, she's less than a year. There's less than a year apart from them.
Okay.
Because Sabrina's July and Ty is like in a week, isn't it?
Yeah, end of October.
Yeah, Ty's October and Sabrina's July. So, you know, whatever the time frame is, October, November, December, plus seven. So 10-month difference.
So as you may or may not know, you know, Ty walks to school every day and it's about like 15, 20-minute walk. And I walk with him most of the way. And obviously we have some interesting discussions. He's got, you know, his kid's got a lot of questions and we just talk about all kinds of different things. So earlier this week, just out of nowhere, I forgot what we were talking about. All of a sudden he says, Papo, how do you make a baby? And so, okay. So my question is, when your soon to be 7-year-old asks you how you make a baby, what's your response? Wombat, you can go first.
I would go with at seven, because they don't, you know, just the concept of intercourse isn't really something they would be able to grasp anyway.
And you wouldn't want them to, probably.
Yeah. You could basically just go, I think you could get away with, when a mommy and daddy love each other very much,
yes,
a baby grows in mommy's belly.
That's it.
That's the answer?
That's the answer.
See, I think
now,
that's...
Now, what did you say, Cheapy?
No. Well, there was an... what did I say? Well, first, my first play is usually to try to change the subject as soon as possible.
Storks.
Hey, look at that guy's dirty dong over there.
Like, did you see the uncircumcised penis?
No, I'm like, well, what made you think?
Let me tell you what I saw the other day, Ty.
No, I said, what made you think to ask that question? He's like, well, my birthday is coming up, and I just wanted to know, like, how I was born, like, how that happened. So. I basically said what you just said, and I said there's more details involved that we'll get to when you're older. So you guys win the parenting game. Congratulations.
Excellent. I mean, I could hear my 3-year-old son rummaging around the house as we do a show, so I don't know if I win the parenting game.
Right.
But
you had a good question. You had a good answer, rather. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he also asked me like, "What is sex?" like the week before. How do you answer that question?
I would very bluntly be, "You're too young."
No, but I do that, and that's not, you can't get it. That doesn't stop the questions.
Something for mommy and daddies.
I said, you know what I said? I said sex involve. I gave like a very wordy. I try to use words that he's not going to understand, and just like high concept things. So I basically said, you know how men like to look at women and things like that? This involves the general principle of that. I think I said something along those lines.
Are you familiar with cunnilingus? Is that what you...
Yeah, that's what I said. So I don't know. You know, it's just a weird thing. So yeah, that's what's going on in my life. Homeless dudes and explaining the birds and the bees to a soon-to-be 7-year-old.
What's he getting for his birthday, by the way?
I don't know. He keeps asking me where his Ben 10 watch is, and I have no idea. So maybe some sort of...
You're not going to rebuy a toy that you can't find for his birthday.
It was a toy that somebody, like one of his friends, just gave him.
Are you really going to rebuy a toy and say, happy birthday, here's a toy you had again?
No, I doubt
it. Because if so, you've lost the parenting game.
There was going to be some... they don't even sell that here, I'm pretty sure. So it would be some other... There's something called like Yokai Watch, which is, I guess, something... I don't know. Something similar. So something like some sort of watch thing that's not really a watch that's opens up and I don't know. Something like that. Or Lego. What else is there?
Go with the Legos.
He's got enough Legos, though. But we'll see. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
The watch seems easier to move from...
Yeah.
That is true. Something Legos small. Are kind of complicated. That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad I'm not your kid.
We have to do a birthday
something
party.
Something small that you already have. Happy birthday.
He doesn't have it.
What's he going to get next year? A box of cigars?
Yeah. A bowling ball with my name on it.
Exactly. Meat.
I got you dinner.
Have a steak.
That's what I usually get. Uh-huh. So really. What else we got here? Ship went to a Pearl Jam concert. I'm assuming it was Ship.
It was me, yes.
Yeah, how was their flow?
It was pretty even throughout.
Excellent.
Yeah, it was good.
Like, that was the correct answer, by the way.
It's the amount of even flow jokes and puns that I've seen like this week is pretty ridiculous.
Because, that's how it works.
Yeah, like they do not come to Cincinnati very often. Like maybe every 5 years, if we're lucky.
Right. So it's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal when they come to town, and this was like the first night of their new tour. So it was really good show. Like they are pretty good at rock and roll. They know how to do it.
They know how to rock still.
Yeah, like they played for like 3 hours and 20 minutes. Played 33 songs.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of songs, and I mean they have a lot of material to cover.
How much does a Pearl Jam ticket cost in Cincinnati?
Like $65-$70.
Oh wow. And how big is that? Like how big is the arena that they play in?
I think like 17,000. It's okay. It's a smaller arena.
Okay.
But but it's the only thing like you can kind of tell, like they're still up there rocking pretty hard, but they are getting older, which it's kind of disappointing to see. Like at the same time, it's like, yeah, you guys are still really good. Like, cause this is like the band, like my formative band growing up. Like they started off like when I was in middle school, like when you start really getting into music on your own.
Right.
And so like I've been listening to them since then. And so they're still like jumping around on stage and everything. I don't know if like Eddie Vedder just hurt his knee during the concert or whether like he's got like arthritis in his knee or something, but like you could just like see him like hobbling around like to get to like, cause he's like used to like going and climbing on stuff and like getting to different parts of the stage and working the crowd and everything.
Yeah. Like Steven Tyler, his feet are all fucked up from
yeah,
all those
years. Yeah. Same type thing. Like he's still like doing all the jumps up and down and everything. Cause he wants to put on a good show, but then it's like, you can kind of like tell like, that's really hurting him. I like kind of don't want him to do that at the same time. Like,
right. The mind is willing. The body is weak.
Yeah. But no, it was fantastic. I loved it.
Cool. So, excellent.
What good was show. The best song they played?
I like Elderly Woman a lot. Just the song, not in general. But
is that so the full title?
No, it's Elderly Woman Behind a Counter in a Small Town is the full title.
Thank you. I know. I was just being a jerk.
But yeah, so I mean they played every song that you could name.
So one song.
No. Name some Pearl Jam songs, Cheapy.
Even Flow.
Uh-huh.
Jeremy?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's yep, even
they played
fun.
That one. Oh. They did that one.
I'm pretty much... I never black. Liked them.
They played Black.
I remember people liking them when I was in college.
Daughter?
They played Daughter.
Did they play that the remake from the early 60s?
They did not play that.
Oh,
they did not play Last
where,
Kiss.
Where, oh, where can my baby be? The
they
Lord
did, they did
took
cover
away from
Rolling
me.
Stones, Looking for a Friend.
Okay.
Waiting for a Friend. I don't remember. One of those. They played a Who song. They played Rockin' in the Free World. All that stuff.
That seems like $65 seems like a pretty good deal, because if you want to see Chaka Khan here, it's like $150. And I don't know who's paying that, but I guess there are some people who really want to see Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan. Everybody Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan.
No,
everybody Chaka
Khan.
Chaka Khan,
let me rock you.
Whatever.
He worked the crowd pretty well, too, because he was talking about, like, you know how they're very, like, they're activists for various causes. Like, he's talking about injustices in the world, and he's talking about gun control and climate change and all that stuff. And then he lumped Pete Rose not being in the Hall of Fame in with those as well. So,
do you like cheese on your hot dogs?
Yeah! I love you, Pearl Jam!
Do you like spaghetti with garbage on top?
Woo!
Awesome.
Yeah. So, he knew what he was doing.
Cool. How about some Watch This, Bitches?
I watched a movie over the weekend.
Yes.
That was not very good.
I saw this.
I want to warn people. Did you watch it too? Like this weekend?
On a plane.
That's funny. How disappointing is Anchorman 2?
It's one of these comedies that they forgot to put the jokes in, right?
It's weird. First of all, it's so preachy.
How is it preachy?
It's all about how news is bad now, man. It's
the news cycle, the 24-hour news cycle, right?
Oh my god, it's like I get it. You made a point one time, but you don't have to hammer it over my head for an hour and 15 minutes.
Or if you have some good jokes in there, it's fine, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, the premise sounds fine. I haven't seen this yet, but I do own it on Blu-ray.
Of course. Good thing you got it on Blu-ray. Yeah.
The premise at its core is fine. But like Cheapy said, it's missing jokes. It was a little too, and I understand he's a big star now, and I like him very much, and he was one of the best things about Anchorman 1, but there was way too much Steve Carell. Brick Tamlin works best as a one-liner every 25 minutes.
Because it's the same joke.
I like Lamp. That's funny.
Right. Yes.
Are you going to the pants party? Is funny because it's one line out of in a context out of a thing. But when you give him a subplot and he's still doing the same joke, but in a cluster of 5 to 10 minutes, it doesn't work.
Right. Yeah.
And Kristen Wiig being female Steve Carell doesn't work either.
Yeah, it was pretty lame. It's a good airplane movie though. It's the perfect airplane movie.
Yeah. It's a fine Sunday afternoon movie. I mean, you know, there's the one scene that you know, is just the same scene from the first movie, but with different people. And that works well because it's just fun to go, hey.
Right.
Hey. but that's, you know, 10 minutes in a 2-hour movie.
We stopped watching TV and movies because we just played Diablo 3 now.
That's okay. I haven't been... Actually, that's not true. I did watch the second episode of Gotham, and I have caught up with both episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
Agents of...
Is Gotham still shitty?
The second episode I didn't really hate as much as the first one. I mean, it's got... Don't get me wrong. It's got lots of problems. But I do... It has... The villains of the week were relatively interesting. They were played by Lily Taylor and Frank Whaley. I know Shipwreck's a big Frank Whaley fan.
I have no idea who these people are that you're talking about.
Frank Whaley is the guy in Career Opportunities.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now he's a one-off villain. He's a one-off villain on a shitty Batman show.
Wow. How did they find him?
I don't know. But that's the only reason why I brought it up, because I know you love that movie.
Right. I do love that movie.
I know you do.
Man, but, I didn't even know that guy had a name in real life.
Yes, Frank Whaley. He was in the Doors movie too.
Yes, he was. Right.
Yes, he was. Where was I going? Oh, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So far this season, I've kind of been enjoying it. I recommend it.
Yeah, but with Arrow starting again and The Flash, I don't know.
Yeah, that's
I don't
next week. I know. I don't think
when's
I.
The Flash?
I don't know if
is
I have
that
time
gonna,
for.
Is that going to be like at 8 o'clock on Mondays as well?
I think that's on. I don't know when that's on. I want to say it's on Thursdays at 9. After
that seems
Arrow.
Okay. I might watch that.
Hulu, dude. It's on Hulu.
Yeah. I don't have Hulu.
Shit. When I move to New York, I am not getting... Well, I'm going to try to not get cable.
Good luck with that.
Good luck.
Can't you just get internet from somebody that's like
it
Verizon?
Costs the same.
It costs the same.
It's the same.
But it can't be the same. How can it be the same?
It's like a $10 difference.
Can't be the same.
No, it is. Because they want all the, they have all that ad revenue tied up with the cable, so they can say we have cable in this many houses.
But can't you just get like Verizon Fios or some shit?
Not in Manhattan. No. Good luck with that. Oh, I mean, some buildings have it, but not many.
Right, right. Because you know, 9 years with no television and just getting everything on Netflix and Hulu and all that, I don't miss it at all. Like I don't miss channel surfing.
You could still do that.
I mean, you'll be fine. I mean, and you could still have your Hulu and Netflix. You don't have to watch.
I'm just saying, I don't feel like I missed anything like by not having the local news or being able to channel surf. It just seems like a waste of time. and money to me.
But it's not a waste of money because it's going to cost the same.
All right.
But
I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm going to I'm going to bust these guys' balls about that somehow. Good luck, right?
Yeah.
All right. Do you know who I am? Cheap ED. I don't want your fucking television. Just give me cheap internet. All right. How about some show feedback?
Sure. There wasn't much. I mean, you people are really letting me down with show feedback, listeners. How dare you? How dare you?
Yeah, we have to remind everybody that there is a thread in the CAGcast forum on CAG, so if you have a comment about the show, post it there.
Exactly. So do it, and there's a chance that you could be internet famous for a week, like Canemit, who had to say, "Cheapy, what the bleep happened with you in Destiny? I asked you on Twitch if it was worse than you expected, and you said no, it was about the same. You were stoked for Destiny after the beta. I played the beta and thought it was generic, yet here I am, level 28, and you seem to have moved on. I'm not sure what you were expecting from the beta. It's almost like you let Shipwreck's opinion influence you. What made it kind of fun for me was having a fire team and a clan that pushed me to level up with them even at times it was a grind and it made me sick of it. I really wanted to play the upper level strikes and the raid with a clan and experience something that I normally wouldn't, and I did that. It's not an amazing game, but it does a few things right. So he's answered his own question by the end.
Right. I think he just stopped. I think Canemit has just basically sold his copy of Destiny back to GameStop after writing this question. Yeah, I mean, you answered your own question. I played it, and it was basically the same as the beta, and I was expecting it to be, I don't know, more than the beta? Is that a weird expectation to have something to
no,
be like?
No, it's not.
Yeah, okay.
Did you guys read the AMA that may or may not be from a Bungie employee?
You did, though. I did not.
I know I didn't. I sent it to both of you.
Right.
You're the only one that's really concerned about Destiny at this point, I think.
Well, I mean, I find it...
Out of the three of us, not in the
Yes,
in
I
the
find
world,
it fascinating for two reasons. One, I actually enjoy the game, which is crazy in itself. I put in 18 hours, I hit level 22. I'm probably done with it. I mean, I've played every story mode, but I have a new game sitting here in the plastic, so...
So you fulfilled your destiny.
I may have fulfilled my destiny. I did play a lot of it. I can't complain about how much I played. I will, but I can't.
Right. You got some value. You got, 18 hours of enjoyment out of it. That's a lot.
It is. It's a lot for, most games.
Yeah.
It's not what I expected out of Destiny. I think I thought it would be a 100-hour game.
Right.
But or a 50-hour game, but it's not. It just isn't.
I'm basically in a holding pattern right now. I'm waiting to see what they do with the update. I feel like playing now, I'm just sort of wasting my time. If I wait.
Well, what level are you now?
I don't know.
In that game, like 10?
Something like that.
No, I mean, you're higher than that. You're
11, 12?
I think we're both around 13 or 14.
Could be.
Yeah, it's such a weird game.
You're on Mars now, right, Cheapy? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I finally did all the stories and all the strikes, but I haven't done any of the raids. But
I got to the point in the story where I got up to level, I don't know, I opened up Mars, and I think I'm level 13 is what I am. And it's like, oh, you've opened up Mars, but we recommend you be like level, I don't know, 15 to 18 or something before you start playing that.
Well, if you do it with someone that's a higher level than you, then you won't have a problem.
I know, but it's just discouraging to see that on screen. Is that
I know.
Yes, you're good enough to open this up, but it's walled off because we want you to go do some grind.
Patrol and grind. And I mean, the bounties are kind of fun. I actually enjoy doing the bounties. I just wish there was more reward to it. I'm not a fan, and I guess it's common in MMOs. That's what everyone keeps saying, but I'm not a fan of the post-20 leveling system, where you have to get special gear that has light attributed to it, and the amount of light you have is how you get over level 20. I'm like, I don't, I, I, how about I kill things and you give me experience? How about that? And then I have a reason to go on patrol after level 20 and wander around and sink 100 hours into it. Because if I run around, because if I do go on patrol and wander around and kill things, and after 2 hours I get one piece of something that gives me experience, the reward for time spent isn't there. You know, there's an equation there of time spent plus satisfaction. Time spent plus reward equals satisfaction. And it's not, it still doesn't quite hit that equation properly. I haven't played it with the patch that came out today. Maybe it's a little bit better, but I don't know. I did my first.
I think the equation is reward divided by time spent.
Is it?
Equals.
Reward divided.
Well, that's not a math guy. I'll wait till they figure out how to make the game more fun. And it seems like they're taking a lot of feedback in, and they're getting these patches out really quickly. So I can wait. There's plenty of great games out there, and there's more. You know, we're in the good game season here. So,
It's not like you don't have Destiny, you know, waiting for you when it does. If they do it, and I do think that there's a lot of good there. That's the real shame of Destiny. It's not like the game just, you know, sucks from top
to bottom.
They were close.
They're pretty close to making it like really
great. There's something there that's really good. You know, there's the combat I find to be satisfying. When you're in a group of dudes and you shoot three down quickly, and then you stick a grenade on the big guy, and then throw a knife in the face of another one all within the span of like 30 seconds. I mean, you know, you get a little bit of a jolt from that, and it's just a shame that couldn't build a package around that makes it worthwhile for more than 17 hours.
I'm not giving up hope. I'm just, you know, we're on a break right now. We're not broken up, right? We're separated. We're taking a break.
Well, there are fewer and fewer people playing the game. So
I noticed that on my Xbox and my PlayStation when it shows, you know, on Xbox now. It shows like how many friends have been playing. It gives you, right, like on the friends section, it gives you like a little summary of each game. Like Destiny has, you know, five friends have been playing Destiny, or, you know, or currently playing, or even.
I feel like, and those five friends will be playing Destiny for months and months and months.
And people may not.
Yeah, there is a very dedicated user base to this game.
All right, well, we'll see what happens with it. I'm not giving up hope. Should we move on to new releases? Because there are some good ones this week.
Yes, there are. What should we talk about first?
Should we just go right to...
Alowar Arcade Bundle?
No. Forza Horizon 2.
Namco Museum?
Namco Museum. Now, those are good games. But I had those on the PlayStation 1. They're all fine collections. Don't think I'm gonna buy them for $6.
Driving
each,
cheapy nuts.
Sure.
Right. I'm like biting my lip. I just bit my lip right off. Actually, I only have one lip now.
Tell me about Forza Horizon.
You mean one of the best racing games ever made? The best driving games ever made? I would call it a driving game, not a racing game. This game, you know, now I don't feel so bad that Forza 5 was disappointing, because if all the groundwork into making Forza 5 produced Horizon 2, and it did because they're using the same engine, then it was time and money well spent, because holy shit, is this game awesome.
It's pretty good. I've only played maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours of it, but it has hooks, that's for sure.
Right. Remember, like, when the main complaint about Forza 5 was that there was really just not much to do other than race in a circle and paint your cars, and there just really weren't any unique events. And if when you looked at other games, like even the latest Gran Turismo game for PS3, they were like mixing up all different kinds of events. You could drive on the moon. There was just a lot of stuff to do besides driving in a circle. And Horizon 2 has just so many different activities. Like, you're racing I raced a train, jet planes, and what else? Some other weird thing I raced? I can't remember. But there's just a lot of different types of events. The off-roading stuff is probably the best off-roading racing in any game ever. And the fact that you can just go anywhere, it's open world, it looks amazing. I really can't say enough great things about it. I streamed, let me put it this way. I did a live stream yesterday and I played the game for 2.5 hours straight live streaming it, which means obviously that I like it very much.
It's Burnout Paradise. It's
but with better driving. The thing is that the driving model is fantastic because it's based on Forza and it has so many options for if you prefer more sim or more arcade, you can customize it however you like it. Mm-hmm. And I have it set pretty much on all sim settings, and I find that it's pretty blissful. What camera angle do you prefer?
I either go. It depends on what the event is. If I'm just driving around, mm-hmm. like looking for like the billboards to smash through and everything, like in Burnout Paradise, I do the out of car view.
Yeah.
But if I'm like in a race, I generally go to like the hood view.
Yeah. I switch. I go. I love the in car view because they render all the actual interiors of these cars. But yeah, I switch up to all those other views too. It's pretty awesome.
Are you using the Kinect stuff?
It never works for me. Supposedly you can say Anna, which is the name of the navigation system.
Yeah, it works. Which makes your wife go, "Who is Anna?" I dated an Anna in high school. So it's
I didn't know you ever dated anyone else.
Yes, I dated other people. I only married my wife.
Works for you? I say yeah. Anna weird. I only get it to work maybe 10% of the time. Maybe because I have the music. The soundtrack is awesome.
Yeah.
The
Anna stuff is pretty cool though. Like because you can just say Anna and then like comes up with I don't know maybe 6 or 7 different things that you can say that are they're like relevant to what you're doing. But the top one is just like, Anna, what should I do?
And what does that do?
That just like, it suggests something for you to do. It's like, hey, there's a billboard nearby. Would you like me to put it on your GPS so you can do a map to it? Or, hey, you've done 2 out of 3 events in this championship. Would you like to do the last event? Or like just stuff like that.
Oh,
like,
wow. Okay.
Anything that's nearby where you're at, she'll like suggest that you go do something.
Maybe I will recalibrate my Kinect.
Similar to the Sync system that Microsoft also makes that's in my car.
Hmm. Sync? What should I do next?
Well, it's more like you push the button and I say, classic rewind. Or
that's how you don't wreck your car?
Alt Nation. Yes, that's how I don't wreck my car.
I don't know. They did it. There's a lot of great design decisions in the game. Like when you level up, you get a prize wheel. Which makes leveling
that's
up
fun.
Really fun. Yep. When you're just driving around, so because this is an open world game, you're encouraged just to drive around and explore, and the environments are amazing. But also, you earn when you're doing. If you drive skillfully, you can fill up a meter, and when you fill up this meter, you can earn a skill point, which you can use to spend on perks, which will like increase the rewards you get from different activities and things like that. So there's just a lot going on in the game besides driving in a circle. I played a lot of this game yesterday and
I've only
it forever.
Driven the one car so far. So I don't understand how the, like I haven't been to the garage area yet to understand like how to do the different cars and stuff like that.
There's a lot going on and you unlock things as you play. You really need to play for about 4 hours before you can even join a car club. So there's
okay.
There is a CAG car club, by the way. It's called CAG, so it's easy to find. And there actually is a purpose for joining the car clubs. You get experience points bonuses, so it's not just like a complete waste of time.
Do you get a leather jacket that says CAG car club on the back?
I don't want to buy 100 leather jackets for people, so no. Sorry. But I really can't say enough great things about this.
The bucket list events, too.
Right. Right.
Those are cool.
They have it's just like a lot of varied activities, right?
Yeah, I mean, like so you'll be driving around and then all of a sudden you'll see a car sitting there and it'll say, "Hey, this is would you like to do the bucket list with this car?" And it just like says, "Okay, well you have to hit this speed trap in this car at whatever mile per hour." And so you just get that car for that event. And you could drive it around as much as you want, like
if you don't want to do the event.
Yeah, if you don't want to do the event. but
yeah, it's awesome.
It's just, it's really good.
It's really good. It scratches my, you know, back in the day when I actually had a car and I was living in New York or Long Island, I would love just to drive around and listen to the radio, and this totally scratches that itch.
Through cornfields, whatever.
Exactly. The cornfields of Queens, as depicted in The Crew. Anyway, so there's a lot of feedback about Forza, so let's get to that. The Big Andy writes in and says, I am loving it, except for the part when I got excited when I saw the Tesla Model S and then realized it was in a $10 DLC pack. They really need to sell the... If you're going to do the DLC thing with cars, sell the fucking car separately. Don't be an asshole and make me spend $10 to $20 to buy... If I want one car that's in a pack of 20 like you did with Forza 5 and the Bugatti. It's really shitty, and it makes us feel shitty when we're buying the game on release. So please, kill that with fire. Nate Griffith writes in and says, now that you've played Forza Horizon, are you confident that it will be better than Drive Club? I haven't played the full version of Drive Club, so I cannot really give a educated opinion on this. But yeah, I'm pretty confident. If you put a gun to my head and say, pick one, I'm going to say that. I have a hard time imagining.
Drive Club has a lot of like online type
stuff. So does this, dude.
Well, I know, but this also has the I don't have to race against other people thing going on.
Yes.
Like, it's just like, this is a single player racing game if that's what you want. I mean, it has the drivatars and everything. But
yes, it lets you do both.
Right.
Which is nice. So, and it encourages you to do the online stuff. Like, when you load up the game, I don't know if you have to be playing it for a few hours first to unlock it, but it throws you right into these car meets. Did you get to the car meets yet, Chip?
No.
So it's like a car meet. It's like a, you know, like a car meetup in a parking lot.
So the they had this right down the street at the Quaker Steak in Leib.
Right. They had them at Nathan's in Westbury. Right, Wombat? Remember that?
Yes, I do.
So when you launch the game, you're literally just – you're sitting in a parking lot with other players, and it's trying to match you up with other online players. But you can just push a button and say, like, yeah, I'm just going to do this solo.
They're annoying the people that were just going to get wings that night.
Right.
All I wanted was to go to wings, and it's Wednesday night. And
I can't get a parking spot.
Motorcycles everywhere.
Yeah. Wolfenstein4TW writes in and asks, Forza Horizon 2 the best racing game you ever played?
Is it?
It might be. I think it is.
What?
What was it before? I mean, what's a better racing game?
RC Pro-Am was pretty good.
What about the first Burnout? That was pretty good.
But this has more than that. This is better. It has... I mean, the
can
only thing that this...
Can you, does it have crash stuff in it?
Like, no. That's the
and
only...
Yeah, then, there you go.
And
it's
doesn't have cops. There's no cops.
Again, then definitely not better. See?
I don't know. I mean,
Mad Dash Racing?
I thought Need for Speed Most Wanted was really excellent. But I think this is better.
This has the... It's got that, like you were saying, it's got the driving engine underneath it.
It's perfect, really.
It makes a big difference.
Yeah, and the fact that you can tailor it to what you like is really important. Because when I was streaming it yesterday, saw that, you know, they said, oh, is there a way to make this game more arcadey? And yeah, I mean, you can have assisted steering, you can have all kinds of shit, assisted braking, whatever you need, this game has. So I would totally recommend, and people also ask me like what version they should get, and I would say just get the $60 version. I don't know why you would pre-order the car packs now when you don't know what's in them. It seems crazy.
This came out for 360 as well, right?
It did, but it's missing a lot of features on the 360 version.
I would think 360 would have a difficult time with this game a little bit.
Oh yeah.
But I'm sure it's still good there, but I'm just thinking as far as Microsoft really needs to position this to sell Xbox Ones.
It's that good. It should. It's just, it's fantastic. And it has a classical music station, radio station. So that's all you really need to hear. And it has the 1812 Overture on it. Really, you don't need to know anything else. So
put that right on the box.
It should.
Includes 1812 Overture.
Yeah. I give this game my highest recommendation. It's just, and if you're a car fan at all, any car enthusiast, this is basically your wet dream. So there we are. Forza Horizon 2. How about
blue BMW? Got that.
What's that?
I got that blue BMW. It's got that in there.
Oh, the Z4, whatever. The one you start with?
The Z4.
The Z4, those Brits.
And they say garage funny, too. Like, say garage, Wombat.
Garage?
That's how they say it in the game.
And trail, also. Trail is like trial.
Trial.
Just take the trial. Anyway, other big release this week. Another big one.
Well, yeah, I've been playing the Middle Earth Shadow of Mordor. Have you been playing that, Chibi? I know you got it, and I know, Wombat, you just got it today, too.
Yeah, I'm holding my copy instead of playing it because we're doing this stupid show. I mean, I love this show. Thanks for listening.
Right. I played a little bit. I did the first mission. You know, after the tutorial, I killed the first captain. The first orc. Uruk-hai captain.
Okay. So have you gotten into the Nemesis system
yes.
at all? Okay. That so Shadow of Mordor, it is straight up like they saw Assassin's Creed and they went, okay, we're gonna make an Assassin's Creed, but in Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
With Batman Arkham Knight / Rise combat.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's all in there. It's done really well. It's just straight up like Assassin's Creed. You climb to the top of these towers to make the map appear, like all the icons on the map appear. Right. You have your hunting challenges. You have your like go find these sigils or whatever that are hidden challenges with your, I don't know, it's not eagle vision, it's wraith vision or something.
Yes.
So it's just straight up Assassin's Creed. It kind of reminds me of when that Captain America game was just straight up the Batman game, but with Captain America. it's kind of like they did that with this as well, which is, it's fine.
But it's, it seems a lot deeper, like way deeper.
How so?
Well, the RPG elements in terms of building up your character, it seems like you have a lot of different ways to upgrade weapons and your abilities.
That is kind of ties into the Nemesis system, which is the unique part of the game, which I still don't know if I have a full handle on it. I'm about 4 hours in or so.
Okay.
Or maybe 5 hours. But it's got like this screen that shows the army of Sauron. And so most of the guys are blacked out because you have to find them out on the battlefield or find info about them.
These are the captains of his army.
Captains and the war chiefs and everything.
Okay.
Like they have different rankings. And so you can go out and defeat these guys and they have levels. Like, so they start off and the captain you fought was probably like a level 5 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And based on those levels is the rewards that you get for that you can attach these runes to your sword, your dagger, and your bow. And so that kind of gives you like your power up system there. And so every time you die, though, the Nemesis system makes these captains that you've found out there, it makes their levels increase. So then the level of the captains then also means you get better gear from them when you kill them. So it's a kind of interesting system, and like different captains can get wiped out just on their own. Like there's a constant like struggles, within the game between the different captains, and they can fight each other. And actually in the game, like if they're fighting, you can go and take advantage of that. That they're fighting each other and use that to your advantage to take them both out, or maybe one gets weakened and you can take them out easier. It's got a lot going on. It's a pretty interesting game, pretty just like fun open world game to just go around and kill dudes.
I unlocked the perk that lets you decapitate dudes.
Of course.
That was the first. I said, okay, I got a skill point. Let me see what I'm going to unlock. And the first thing I saw with that, and I saw they show a little picture of the dude's head coming off. I'm like, well, I had no need to look at any of the other ones. Just select that one.
Yeah, it's usually, it's decapitation or exploding enemies is usually another. Another trope that I enjoy.
Yeah, it's got a whole skill tree in there besides these rune system. And it also has a little bit of Far Cry in there. Like there'll be animals that are caged up and you can set those free and they'll go off and interact and kill guards or whatever, or make it so you can sneak past. So it's got a lot of stuff going on in the world.
Go ahead.
The only issues I have with the game are like, there's a lot of controls and it seems like maybe some of the button mapping is not fantastic.
Like
the executions, like the standing executions.
Yeah. Two face buttons is a weird combo.
Two buttons at the same time. And both of those buttons, like one of them does, like counter, like blocking, and one of them does like a stun move. And so a lot of time when I'm trying to just decapitate somebody, I'm just instead like trying to block for no reason or
I hate when that happens.
Stunning them again. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I hear what you're saying. The game looks really nice on PS4, at least.
Yeah.
How the Xbox One version looks. Do they all come with the same like Dark Ranger access? Or is it different for different consoles?
The PS4 has that and some extra stuff.
Oh, so I have the loser copy.
They send us. We're at Wombat. We're on the B team, the C team. So
I know.
It was nice of them to send us.
I know.
Send my parents. It was nice of them to send my parents a video game, but they every other outlet got it like several weeks earlier and got the PS4 version, and we got it like the day of release and the Xbox One version. So I don't know what that means, and I'm not complaining, but I'm just throwing that out there. So everybody knows that we're on the C team.
Yeah. You know, I would have picked it up from their house, by the way. I thought they sent it to Florida.
No. I was going to mention that to you, but then, yeah.
I would have been happy to. It's about 3 minutes away.
I know. I thought of it, and then I forgot to mention that.
I would have done that. Saved your parents. Just to save your parents the trip to the post office. Yeah. I felt like a jerk when I saw that in the mail.
Oh, it's no big deal.
I felt bad.
I don't feel bad.
Okay. What do you think of the story so far in this game, Chibi?
I kind of liked it. You know, I liked the opening a lot. I thought it was a pretty good opening for a game. And I will admit, because I'm not that bright, that I got a little confused about what was happening with like this Wraith guy and am I dead?
It's still confusing to me.
But that being
said, Lord of the Rings.
That being said, I hit the start button and they have a little appendix section there. Mm-hmm. And it explained it perfectly, and I didn't have to read like 10 pages of shit to figure it out. It's a couple of paragraphs, and I now understand.
Did you hit the center button and a little thing came out and Peter Dinklage told you who everyone was?
No, he hasn't explained anything to anybody
ever. This is amazing. This is amazing. This is incredible. No one has seen this for thousands of years.
Yeah.
Go kill it.
No, I think I understand the story. It's
they're coming through the walls.
He was a ranger of Gondor. Let me see if you can test me. He was a ranger of Gondor. After they defeated Sauron, these rangers were assigned to guard the Black Gate, which is the gate to Mordor, I guess. And Sauron returned unexpectedly with his armies, and the rangers were overwhelmed because it's been so long since Sauron has been gone. So they killed all those dudes, and so the guy that you played gets killed, but there was a ghost who was cursed, a wraith, excuse me, who was cursed by one of the Sauron's like right-hand dude. And
Blackhand.
Blackhand dude, right, not right-hand. And this wraith resurrects you from the dead. He was, I guess, watched the whole thing go down, and he's going to...
You're cursed, so you can't die. The Black Hand curses you.
Okay. But the Wraith resurrects you somehow. It's not that you can't die. It's that you're doomed to...
You're in purgatory, basically.
Right, right. But the Wraith brings you back into like a solid form so that you can actually go kick some ass. And now you have to hunt down this guy so you can lift the curse and get out of Mordor. I think that's the story, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's good. I mean, usually I don't understand these things. So I was happy that I was able to understand it.
I like to, like, I can go either way on the Lord of the Rings stuff. Like, I can be in the mood for it, or I could just care less. And I think like it doesn't matter if you're into Lord of the Ring too much.
No,
for this game,
it doesn't.
I mean, it has the fan service in there. I mean, not like a half hour into the game, you already see Gollum.
So. Yeah. I saw him. My only wish was that, I mean, and the music is good. I wish they had the music from the movies, because the music is, they did a great job with it, with the music and the sound in general, but you know, how can
the
you
the stuff, I don't like, I don't know how this will be on the Xbox One version, but the stuff that comes through the controller speaker in this game, it's kind of freaky. Like all the Wraith sounds and everything.
Yeah. It's nice.
It's pretty good. It's a nice touch.
Gotta recommend Shadow of Mordor. It's pretty good. But you know, I haven't played that much because of Forza. Wait, there was some question here. Oh yeah, Steakfest wrote in and wanted to know if he said, time to buy a new game for PS4, pay full price for Shadow of Mordor, or do I lose my CAG card? Nah, man, go for it.
I think so.
Yeah. It's worth it.
I mean, there's other stuff you could play that's, you know, well, I
yeah,
don't
but
know
you want to don't you want to support good games? And that's how you do it.
I guess. Fine.
I always say, like, the nice thing about being a CAG is that, you know, you can fill your collection in with cheap stuff and, you know, you're saving money pretty much all the time. So when a new game comes out and if you want to pay full price for it, it's, you know, you saved enough money that.
Well, I'm just trying to think of what would be not full price that would be worth getting for the PlayStation 4.
Oh, right. Yeah. This is one of the best.
That's what I'm like. Games. Like, what's the game that I would recommend? And I can't really think of anything. At least nothing that would be
right.
Essentially, you know, worth
Assassin's
the price.
Creed 4 is the.
Yeah, but how much cheaper is it really than
it's
retail?
Like $25.
Is it really that cheap now?
It's been on sale for $25. Yeah.
Okay.
This feels more next gen than that game.
Oh, it does. It definitely does.
It's just a lot going on. I mean, yeah, it is a deeper game than Assassin's Creed, I would say. Like,
it's hard to say because it doesn't have like the ship battles. And
it's $39 right now on Amazon, by the way, Assassin's Creed. So it's, I mean, $40 against $60 for something that's new and better. I would say $60 over something that's new and better. I'm just saying there really isn't that many great deals in the PlayStation 4 that would warrant not buying something new and great.
I also don't know if there's a lot of bunch of frustrating missions in Mordor yet because I haven't played enough, but I can say there are in Assassin's Creed 4.
There has not been anything too frustrating in Mordor. The most frustrating thing I've found so far is like for each mission, you're given a bonus optional objective.
Yes,
and
right.
At least early in the game, it could have been the way I was playing it too, but I don't do the story missions. I go off and do other things. Mm-hmm. And some of those bonuses, I had not yet learned the controls. Like it hadn't taught me the controls yet to do the thing that I was trying to do.
That's what you get for jumping ahead.
I wasn't jumping ahead. It was letting me do it.
I found out from one of our followers that if you get killed by one of the enemies in the game,
yeah,
that person gets, first of all, the enemy that kills you gets promoted to captain. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he talks about it and it's pretty funny. And by the way, the enemies in this game are maybe one of the best looking enemies, or best slash worst, because these dudes are ugly. But they did an amazing job designing these guys. So not only does the guy get promoted, but then people on your friends list can avenge your death by killing that guy.
I've got this one guy, he's killed me 4 times. Like, that was just like me walking in a general direction, but it doesn't upset me.
I'm taking it out of the plastic now, you guys.
They talk shit about you too, the enemies, right?
Yeah.
They remember what happened in the past. I don't know. It's a great game, so everybody check it out. Wombat's checking it out right now. You know, Wombat, if you hold the disc up to the light, it doesn't actually like let you see the game.
Shut up. I'll do what I want.
It's not a film strip.
I'm an adult.
What else we got?
So yeah,
here?
Other great games came out. I guess that Sherlock Holmes Crimes and Punishment game came out, and that's also good.
I have
not played it, but I know it's been getting good reviews. Get that unwrapped yet, Wombat?
It's done. It's unwrapped. I'm smelling it now. New game smell.
Let's see here, and then Well, Super Smash Brothers comes out for 3DS as well.
Okay.
That'll be out when this show goes up.
Cool.
Which none of us, people like ask why we don't cover Super Smash Brothers, or like I get,
why don't we talk about it? Why don't we, yeah, why don't we hyped about
it's just,
it?
None of us are particularly big Super Smash Brothers players. Like, I like the concept more than the execution of that game.
If I was living in a dorm, maybe things would be different. Just sure. Because I'd have people popping in to play with, and it seems like it would be fun in that environment. But
I'd also want the Wii U version of it rather than the 3D. I don't know. It's just not a game I want to play in the 3DS. And they haven't even announced a firm release date for the Wii U version yet.
Right. So. All right. Let's see. What else we got here? Some keg shopping news, some deals. Let's see here. This one, of course, this happened right after I bought Shadow of Mordor. If you spend $100 on PlayStation Network in October, you get a $15 credit back, which is pretty good. So
I guess.
That's not bad. Better than nothing. You know, usually never get any deals on, you know, downloads from these dudes. Works on new games, so that's nice.
Chariot also came out.
Oh yeah, and that's free.
That's free on Xbox One. It's $15, I think, on PS4. I played some of that with Mrs. Shipwreck.
And you're still married?
Yes. I was told that we need to stop playing. You know, at one point.
You're pulling it wrong. No, the other way.
It gets like, you don't even have to do these challenges, but like it shows like little signs, and it's like, okay, if you go this way, you know, there's like a secret up there, and it's got the two persons icon. And so I don't know, we were trying to get to one of those for like a half hour in that broker.
right. What else?
I can just picture slamming the controller down. My mother was right.
You're a horrible person. Yeah, you need a game like Diablo where it's like pretty hard to die and it doesn't even matter if you die.
That's immediately what we went back to.
Yeah, we're almost
Chariot's,
done.
Chariot's fun. It's just... I would suggest maybe playing through the levels just to get through the levels rather than trying to collect everything the first time through.
Right, right.
Just on a frustration level.
Right. There's also some GameStop added some benefits for their power-up program, but I got tired. I don't feel like reading it. It was on joystick. And they also have a credit card with a 27% APR. So don't get that, please. Also, I have to give a shout-out to CAGcast trivia winner Saturnine0204, who correctly identified the waveform of Wombat's fart from a CAGcast show from like 200 episodes ago, just from the picture, which I thought was very impressive. So congratulations. You've listened to way too much CAGcast.
Wait, what are we talking about now?
I posted a picture on Twitter.
Oh.
As a CAGcast trivia. Did you see that?
There's a guy who had that as his avatar forever.
Right. That's where I saw it. That's where I saw it. And I asked if anyone on Twitter knew what this was, they would get a shout out on the show.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of a good idea for the show to do a little CAGcast trivia on Twitter before the show. And then
my fart wave.
Yeah, and they got it. The guy got it in like, instantly. One guy. But only one guy knew it.
Oh, that's sad.
It was pretty cool. Well, it was just a tiny little box of a waveform. You have to be pretty hardcore to know it.
Would you have to be hardcore? I like to think my farts are pretty well known throughout the universe.
But not what they look like. I mean, that's just like on a whole another level. What they smell like, maybe, but what they look like? I mean, come on.
I guess you have a point there. I take it back.
Yes. He's very special, this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I wanted to mention something. As I was playing Forza Horizon, it just became more apparent to me how annoying it is that the Kinect automatically has the hot mic in your living room, especially with the game like Forza, where it's one of these online, you know, it pops you right into an online room as soon as you turn the game on. And there's, again, no way to turn off the Kinect mic except for going into the settings, deep into the settings, and turning off the mic, and which will turn it off for everything, which is really annoying. So please, Why can't every game needs to have a button in the game that will let you A, mute the Kinect mic, and B, mute everybody else for all the people who didn't mute their Kinect mic and you don't want to hear all their gameplay through your television as well. So
it doesn't do that automatically if you plug in a headset.
I don't know. I don't use a headset.
Oh. So you'd rather there be no chat at all?
No, I want a button that lets me easily in every game that lets me turn off the mic and turns off other people's mics. I don't think
You want to turn off other people's mics also.
Yes, because if people, I don't think people realize. They don't know.
No, because I've had the same conversation with people at work to show them how to turn this off because they've been playing games and did not realize the person on the other end who they were insulting.
Have the headset adapter?
Yes.
Okay.
It has a mute button on it.
Yeah. So can you plug that in and hit the mute button and that will take care of that?
Yes, that will take care of it. That's stupid. It should be just software on the game. Yes, that is a solution.
I'm giving you a solution that works today.
Yes, yes.
Whilst you wait for an optimal solution.
Wait, so if I hit the mute button, it mutes the Kinect?
I'm assuming if you plug in the little microphone disc in the bottom of the controller that it turns off the Kinect mic automatically, just as soon as you do that, right?
Yeah.
No.
That's what I think happens too.
No.
It doesn't?
I don't think so.
It has
to. Yeah, when I played Diablo with you and you were using your Kinect, I only heard it through my headset and not through my TV.
Yeah. But you had a headset plugged in, not just the adapter.
I don't know. You think you need to test it? I guess that would be the only way to find out.
Right.
But if you plugged in a headset, then that would work.
The only way to find out is people will respond to this and let us know.
That is true, too.
You can go to... I went to the Microsoft, there's a user feedback website, and I saw that it has like almost 300 votes for this feature. It's crazy to me that it's been almost a year, and probably a lot of people just don't know that they have a hot mic in their living room when they jump into pretty much any game.
Sounds like a bachelorette party, by the way. Hot mic in your living room.
Right. Ryan Rapetsky wrote in and said, I had to send a message to some guy playing Need for Speed Rivals because I got tired of hearing his family's conversations. Creepy. Yeah, I'm sure he had no idea that his mic was live. And especially like a game like Need for Speed Rivals where it's always online. And Plants vs. Zombies, same exact thing. All these people have no idea that they're just broadcasting their living room to everybody. And it seems like a really easy solution. Just, you know.
Well, wasn't that the thing that we said about the Kinect when it was announced?
What's that? That this was going to happen?
Yeah. That you would hear everything going on in someone's house. And that's why they needed to, you know, pack in some sort of headset.
Or how about it? Like,
because using the Kinect doesn't work.
Well, It does work if there was just
work.
You had a control. You have no control over it except for digging into the settings menu. And why should I have to exit the game that I'm playing to mute a microphone? It just doesn't make any sense. It would make sense to even have like a dedicated. I mean, they put on the headset mic, right? The puck thing has all these controls on it. I don't know. They should have had like a.
Couldn't you just? Couldn't it just? It wouldn't even have to be a button. You could just say
Xbox mute mic.
Connect mute.
Yeah.
Or
yeah. Xbox mute microphone. Xbox mute all. This would be great. These would all be great ideas. Hopefully somebody brings these back to Microsoft because it's getting really annoying.
Stupid Microsoft.
It's like so obvious. Don't these guys test this stuff?
Yeah, it's got to be a voice command because if you're using the Kinect in the first place, like that's where this whole issue is coming from. It makes sense for it to be a voice command rather than figuring out some buttons.
Right, because it only affects people who are using Kinect. I also...
We solved it.
You solved it. Well, they need to solve it. They need to implement. You've solved it. They need to implement. I also wanted to give a shout out to the Smart Glass app. I don't know if you guys have looked at that lately, but it's really good and it's really smooth. And they added something. They added an activity feed, which is basically a Facebook-style news feed of whatever is going on your Xbox, you know, unlocking achievements, or you can just type in shit into the app. The crazy thing is, you would think, like, oh, it's an activity feed on Xbox. Like, really, who's even looking at that, right? When I post something on there, if I just write something into the app, any comment at all, I get more activity on that than I do on my Facebook account, which has like 1,500 friends on it, which seems insane to me. And I was thinking about, like, how could this be, right? But then I realized that Facebook curates everybody's news feed so they can try to get you to pay to boost your posts, to get actually the people who are friends with you to see your posts. And Microsoft's is just, you know, basically a timeline. But yeah, I posted something the other day and I got like, you know, 20 likes and 10 comments. I never get that shit on Facebook. Anyway, so props to whoever invented that, who came up with that that smart glass app. It's way better than the PlayStation app, which is basically just browsers. Bunch of browsers just opening up inside an app. Yeah. So there you go. How about some multi-platforming and Wombat's news and stuff?
Sure. What do we got here?
Are you still smelling your disc?
I put it down. Maybe.
Good.
Just. So this was a request from a show listener who shall remain nameless. Wanted us to talk about downloadable content and where it is today and how we feel about it now that there's been, you know, time passed in the world of DLC, but we're in a new generation. And I know that you have, you know, some thoughts on this, Cheapy, because you tweeted about it earlier this week in regards to Forza Horizon 2 mm-hmm. and the plethora of different versions that exist out in the world.
Right.
And, you know, in the basic question of what is a complete game?
Yes. Okay. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
On. Well, I have a definite opinion about, like, game the value of games today compared to before. I mean, here's a great example, and this is what I tweeted about last week. If you bought Forza 4, the limited edition, right, for Xbox 360, it was $80. It came in a steel case with a 100-page hardcover car book, very nice pictures and words of, you know, actually, like, the book has some value. It's not, you know, a piece of shit. And it came with, I think, 15 cars, or I forget exactly the number of cars came in. But you compare to what you get in the download only versions of Forza Horizon 2, where, you know, it's $80 and you get no disc, no, you know, no box, certainly no book, certainly, and, you know, a few DLC cars. It's just, where's the value now? Why make me feel bad about, like, oh, I'm only paying $60 for this game? Like, I'm psyched about this game, but I don't want to spend $100 on a download, especially. I feel like we're just being taken advantage of because the technology is there to deliver, you know, DLC like this. It doesn't mean that it's a good thing. I don't know. I want to be rewarded when I buy a game at full price on release, because inevitably you have the Game of the Year editions that come out. We all know it. So, you know, they tried a little bit with Horizon. So you get, and they did it with 5 too. Like, if you pre-order the game, you get a free, like, the early adopter car pack. But they're kind of shitty cars that come with it. It's not even anything like that you'd probably really want to drive in the game. And I don't know. I would feel a lot better if they would hook up the people who are buying the game at launch, who are paying the full price and not getting any discounts and stuff. I just haven't seen, you know, basically when DLC, the concept of DLC was first announced, we were all afraid that they were just going to be basically pulling content out of the games to sell it to us piecemeal later. And I haven't seen any evidence to the contrary that that's exactly what's happening.
There's outliers.
Yes, definitely.
And I agree with you for the most part as well. I think here's the I'll give the other side of the argument, just because otherwise it would be a very boring show. So
yeah.
Game production is significantly more expensive than it was even in the halcyon days of DLC.
Yep.
So in order to hedge their bets on game costs, sometimes it makes sense to have a smaller team that's not working on this full game, mm-hmm. make content you know, at the same time as they're making the game, but knowing that it's a smaller team and this content won't be ready when the game ships, that this will be the DLC. It's more cost efficient, and it allows them, if the game is any good and people want to play more of it, it allows them to help recoup back some of the cost of production if the game doesn't sell that well. So there is a financial reason why this DLC exists. And to put it bluntly, in a way, you know, if you wanted a game with all the content, the game would need to cost more than $60. And in many ways, that's exactly what Forza did.
Well, sometimes it makes sense, right? Like, I think it was it Forza 4? They didn't have the license to put Porsches in the game because EA had some exclusive deal. But later, they were able to add via DLC, like the Porsche add-on pack. And that I can see, like, okay, I can see how that could go down, and it makes sense. And I don't feel shitty about paying whatever it was, $15-$20 for it. But when you have all these day one, you know, when you're announcing that you have all these, like, I mean, really, it's just cars, right?
They need to stop announcing all this DLC before, like, the game
I agree with that also. Like the day the game, I think even the day that the Shadow of Mordor came out is when they announced the and you could fight Sauron in the DLC. And it's like, well, I just bought the game. Now I feel crappy because
You hit me up again. You hit me up again.
Let me enjoy what I have. And it also
probably they do that because it's built into, they already have the advertising budget kind of going, and the everything's going, like, they're centered on that game, so they feel like they have to announce this stuff. But I think they could get away with just saying, and we're going to support this game with future DLC.
Yeah, sure.
Just so it makes the consumer feel better about it. Like,
just give us a semblance of value. That's all I'm really asking for.
And DLC should be an extension of your experience and not inclusive of the experience. And I think that's a hard balance to find. And I think it's really hard also. I mean, right now, and this was part of the conversation of this week, was that I tweeted about was Destiny, where, you know, they have a 10-year plan and I'm not sure they have a 10-day plan. And, you know, their first DLC pack comes out in December. And given the reception that's been, you know, chilly at best, if that DLC that comes out in December is amazing and actually fleshes out the non-existent story, they're in trouble because they're finally putting this story in DLC.
Right.
And if it's terrible, then no one's going to buy it anyway. So I feel like it's a lose-lose situation with whatever this DLC is.
Yeah, I mean, just make us...
Is December too late for Destiny?
Well, I mean, the DLC, I mean, it's kind of the whale situation, right? So I think if you have a large enough contingent of people who are going to be playing Destiny for months and months, that... those are really the people that are going to buy the DLC to begin with. You'll get some others to buy it, but I mean,
I've played significantly more than both of you, and I can say there is not 3 months worth of game in Destiny as it is right now. The game that's out, that's on my console today, doesn't have 3 months of content.
You're just not the whale. I don't think you're the whale.
Think there are enough whales.
Well, that's the issue, if there's not enough whales. But if they have enough people that have gone through and made all three of their characters go up to level 28 and are doing these weekly raids and everything. Because I see people on Twitter talking about it still. I know IGN is running a story about Destiny every 30 minutes.
You should check out NeoGAF. They have, I think they're up to their sixth or seventh topic thread. They're all like 400 pages each. Well, no, I'm just saying, yes, there is a very dedicated fan base. They're not negative threads. They're positive threads about Destiny, and they're incredibly long. Some of them are relatively interesting. It's where I learned more about how to play the game post level 20 from reading the guides on NeoGAF than I did from the actual game itself.
Which is another reason why I'm not playing it. because I don't want to do any of that shit.
I understand that. I can, if you played with me, I can help you at this point. Right. I have a little bit of knowledge.
Well, I think that we're almost past the point of where people are going to be saying negative things about Destiny because everybody else is just going to have moved on, mm-hmm. and the people that are still playing it are the people that love it. That have the time to invest into something like this and that have clans and all of the MMO stuff that not everybody wants to do.
Yeah. So, but to get back to the state of DLC, my biggest problem with it is that it doesn't really seem to be delivering a lot of value. And in fact, it seems like they're trying to eliminate value. Like when you do things like sell a pack of like five cars and you don't let the customer buy the cars individually. Like there's no reason why you couldn't let them buy the car. No technical reason why you couldn't let them do it. You're just doing it because you want to get $10 from them and not $2 from them. It's just, you know, you're removing value from the equation. And when you're delivering stuff digitally, there's no reason why you can't do this, right? It's just, yeah, it just makes us
feel shitty. Well, I mean, that would be my next question is, have you played any DLC that made you say, man, I'm so glad I bought that? Has that happened?
Yeah. Borderlands 2.
No, that did have some decent... I actually didn't play Borderlands 2 DLC. Borderlands 1.
Borderlands decent, 1. Fine.
Had decent. Either had one. Some pretty decent. Yeah, I played that.
Those were there was enough game there to begin with. You didn't feel mm-hmm. like it was cut out, even though mm-hmm. they were in development while the game was in development.
Mm-hmm.
And they were substantial enough to where you didn't feel like ripped off when you were playing through them. Like there was enough content there.
But that's even something I've gotten past by the idea of it being in development while the game's in development.
That's fine. I don't have a problem with that.
It's because it's not, again, it's, and I think this is what a lot of people don't get, is that it is a separate team that wouldn't exist. These jobs wouldn't exist without this plan to make this downloadable content that doesn't have that's not working on the same deadlines as the finished product.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with that.
So yeah, exactly. Like DLC that's supposed to be out in December, they would have to start making that way before October if they wanted to have it out. If they wanted to have it ready in time. So I get that, but yeah, I think overall most DLC is pretty crappy. There are
exceptions. That's why you don't buy it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, all the DLC that I buy, I generally like because I
vet it.
You
vet it pretty well before you buy it,
right?
I bought all the DLC for Lego Marvel Super Heroes.
Even I didn't do that.
There were two packs. I think it cost me $4.
Yeah, it's just make it at least appear that it's. There's some value there, and that you're not just going to see how much money you can extract on top of the $60. Forza, I'm looking in your direction. You made a great game, turn 10 in Playground.
I think the way that Forza might like want to handle it is maybe allow you to make bundles on your own, like sell the cars individually, but then say like, or you could buy five of them and save.
That's a great idea.
Dollar.
That's a fantastic idea.
Let you pick out which ones you want. Like,
right.
Like when I go to a store and I can make my own six pack. It's great. Yeah,
that's a fantastic idea. But to say, hey, here's the $100 edition that comes with the car pass, and you don't even know what that means. You don't know what cars are in there. You know, okay, it's whatever, five packs, I guess. But shit, one pack could just be all, you know, pickup trucks, and I don't like pickup trucks. Or maybe it's a silly. What else we got here? I don't know.
You want to talk about this Intel stuff?
Let's do that, and then we'll table the CAG bag for next week. Does that sound like a good idea?
Whichever you would rather do, GB.
Let's do that. Let's Shipwreck, why don't you give us the background on the Intel stuff?
I'd rather have Wombat do it, just because okay. I know that he...
Oh yeah,
it's dear to his heart.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, it's not so complicated a story.
Yeah.
So Intel was advertising on Gamma Sutra, and a group of people on the internet called Operation Disrespectful Nod sent many messages. I don't know, couple hundred or so, saying to Intel, saying that Gamasutra doesn't represent the type of audience that you want to be advertising around, and that they need to pull their advertising. And Intel pulled their advertising for Gamasutra, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, they said, we take feedback from our customers very seriously, especially as it relates to contextually relevant content and placements. So he was specific. I think specifically they were talking about Lee Alexander piece. Was the gamer? Gamers are dead or something?
The end of gaming, yeah. End of gamers or whatever it is.
There was like so many articles about that around the same time, right? When all the Gamergate stuff was first popping off. Did you read any of those articles? I didn't read a single one.
I did read that article.
Oh, you did?
I read it because it was everywhere. People were angry or people loved it. And I'm like, well, I want to read it to find out if
which
I should
I?
Be angry or love it. Yeah, which side do I have? And I somehow fell on the whatever side of it. I didn't care one way or another. So I don't know what that says about me. I'm like,
that means
okay,
you're an enemy to both sides.
Yeah, I think I am, to be perfectly honest. I'm definitely an enemy to both sides because I really didn't care
about the
article.
Was the gist of the articles basically, because I know at the time the Gamergate thing was like, you know, at its peak or just are, you know, gaining a lot of momentum.
Yeah, no, it was at its peak. Yeah.
Okay. And
peaking.
And people were getting a lot of, and you know, so there were a lot of like, you know, threats going, getting thrown around and stuff. And so the gist of the article was that gamers are horrible people. Was that it? Or...
It about, you know, the
something like that.
The game and the idea of the misogyny. Not the idea. There was definitely threats made against women in the video game industry, but you know how they identify themselves with gamers, and if that's what a gamer is, then I don't want to be a gamer anymore. And gamer is, dumb.
Isn't this the same thing as like when a school gets shot up, and you know, by a student? And then they, you know, and then they go into these dudes' bedrooms and they find like, okay, they played video games, so obviously gamers are killers, because you know, gaming is so popular now. It's, you know, it's more popular than movies, that almost everybody is a gamer these days.
Well, that was
but
part
it's
of,
coming from I, the opposite side of what you just said, though.
Okay, well, yeah. How so?
And that these people want to be gamers, like they want to.
And that so many people play games now that there's no need for the term gamer.
I don't know. I don't, like, if somebody calls me a gamer, I don't think it's like a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing.
I don't feel like, oh, I'm getting lumped in with. I mean, look, you're on the internet.
I understand. But here's the thing. You're entitled to that opinion, and she's entitled to hers. Does it make you so angry that you think Intel should pull their sponsoring of a website like a Gamasutra? I don't know how much money they were spending on Gamasutra. It may not affect their bottom line very much. It may mean that people were let go there today. People who just work in the back office, who have families and children to feed, who no longer have a job because Adam Baldwin from that stupid show in outer space is an asshole. Because apparently, Firefly? According to... Yeah, that show.
I like that show.
Yeah, well, it's fine. but Adam Ball, you know, that apparently, according to Vox, he's one of the people that was in the forefront of this.
Well,
so,
yeah,
it's
a hot political button for right-wing sites because it draws clicks.
But does an opinion piece, because that's really, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what side you're on. If someone writes an op-ed on a website, and this isn't, she was talking about gamers. We're not talking about hate speech. We're not talking about race or religion or constitutional amendments or religion. I mean, there's so many other things that she could have been that you could get upset about. We're talking about video games. Is an op-ed piece about video games so controversial that it should require a boycott of a major U.S. corporation or the threat thereof, where that corporation should have to pull its advertising away from a website?
Wombat's anti-boycott in this situation.
I love it.
It hits a little close to home for Wombat.
Well, I know. That's the part to love about it, is that it hits so close to home that he's throwing out his boycott tendencies.
Yeah. I just wouldn't lump in like the people who are, okay, so the people who are throwing out death threats on the internet may happen to play video games, okay? I wouldn't say that makes that says that, okay, oh, gamers are all assholes or evil. Look, people being anonymous on the internet makes you an asshole.
But that's not what we're talking about. That was 3 weeks ago.
Let's just talk about the intel stuff.
We're talking about the intel issue at hand, is that people wrote to Intel saying they need to pull their advertising because this article is on the website. Is the fact that this
they have every right to do that. I mean, it's, and I understand Intel's side of it in that, hey, rather than actually looking at this, we don't usually get this many angry emails. Let's just take that small account.
Is that basically what it is? It's just it's not worth the headache that the flood to our site.
Yes, this is how many really. How much do you think they were spending?
How do we make these emails go away? Oh, we just pulled that small ad campaign that we have with that site.
Yeah, that sounds easy.
Okay, let's do that. It's not that. I mean, to Intel, this doesn't really. They didn't think their way through it all the way. It makes Intel look bad.
But at
the same time, it doesn't make Intel look that bad.
It doesn't make the Gamergate side look sympathetic in any way, if that's their tactic.
I mean, is that what they are?
It's
the same thing. You can't lump all the Gamergate people into one bucket, just like you can't lump the gamers all into one bucket. It's
true. But
it's assholes being assholes is what it is.
And some people just need an excuse to be an asshole.
Is it a form of terrorism?
Oh, God.
God, I'm hanging up on you.
I'm asking a question.
No isms allowed in this conversation.
I didn't say it was.
And by the way, how hard is it to like spoof some email addresses and you know, send a couple of hundred emails?
Well, that's just it. And it's how many of these people have ever been to that website to do more than just read this one article to be mad at.
It's like when you tried to boycott Hobby Lobby without ever going there, Wombat.
I just said I wouldn't go to Hobby Lobby.
But you would never go there anyway.
Exactly.
Because these people would never read an article on Gama Sutra.
I go to AC Moore a lot. It's the same store.
Yeah,
well, I think that's kind of my take on this. Is if you don't like something that people are posting, find another site, create your own site. I mean, the problem that this is coming up so much is that people are reading these opinion pieces, and some of them are truly ridiculous opinion pieces, clearly meant to drive traffic.
Sure,
because that's really the only way these sites can draw traffic anymore is by having these opinion pieces, whether that to be crazy or if they're actual opinions these writers have, to distinguish themselves, because everybody, it's still IGN, it's still GameSpot, like it's all the same huge sites that you go to for news and reviews. Like the blog kind of thing is kind of, I don't know, it's kind of hit a plateau at best.
Well, you could look at all the competition they have from streamers and YouTubers.
There's a lot out there. It's a little nuts how many sites there are. I agree with you. It's crazy how many sites there are out there. It's crazy how many people don't agree with the editorials on some of these sites. Yet no one's posting, did you read this article on this site, which has that other point of view, which at this point, I still don't know what the other point of view is, because there's no one. There's no one posting it in a way that's not gross. That's not, we don't agree with this article, so we're going to make sure that this website gets shut down by pulling all of their finances.
My interpretation of the other view right now is that it's just straight video game news. It's without personality.
But those exist.
I know, but that's why you don't see the, why aren't we seeing the other view, is because I think that's the other view.
So why do people
there's no
care.
Editorial there. It's
why,
it's
why
just,
but why can't there be room for both? I mean, it's really easy to avoid all of this. It's really easy to avoid what you don't want to see and what you don't want to read.
Right. If you don't want to read a Ben Kuchera opinion article, you can just close the browser.
Yeah, you don't have to go to Polygon. You don't have to follow him on Twitter. These are things that you as a consumer have the consumer. You're not even a consumer. You as an individual, because you're not buying anything, you as the individual have the right to do. And if you only like to read articles by I don't know who at whatthehell.com, then follow What the Hell on Twitter and only read the site, funny made up site name that I just said.
You know what? So, I think the overarching complaint with Gamergate, the all encompassing complaint, is that most of these game sites are left leaning. You know, in terms of when they do write opinion pieces, they are left leaning because, I mean, chances are they're based in California, and they're, you know, young people writing them, and maybe Republicans want a site, they want a Fox News of game news, and but that seems reasonable to me.
It does seem reasonable. I agree with you 100%. It seems very reasonable to have the Fox News website. And
is that what that website's trying to be, that leaked all those or found that?
Well, that's just that's basically a Fox News website. It's
yeah,
not a
Breitbart
gaming website.
Is a conservative website, but it's not doing any other articles other than look at how terrible these people are.
Right.
It's not giving any opinion pieces about games and game culture.
Right.
So it's doing the bare minimum to try to get that moniker without actually doing what the people want, which in many ways makes it worse.
Right. They're basically saying, oh, CNN, MSNBC, you suck, but we're not going to start Fox News. We're just going to tell you guys that you suck and threaten to kill you.
Exactly. And I think we live in a world right now where there's room for Fox News and there's room for MSNBC. And if I want to read one site over another, I can make that choice as a person who consumes media. The problem is that there is no alternative to these sites.
Right.
But all the people who are complaining, no one seems to be willing to step up or put their money where their mouth is.
There's a few
and you know
sites
what? I'm. What site? What site is willing?
I'm not invested in it, so I don't really know. But I see. You
it
know,
could
I,
be
I
us.
Check out,
it could be us.
It could be us. We're gonna start our conservative.
Let's all conservative.
I could write great conservative articles. I could be the next Rush Limbaugh. Glenn Beck of video games.
And I think there should be a, you know, if you, I mean, you know, I don't really need any politics mixed in with my video game coverage, but I don't like it either.
Yeah. I agree with you. I try not to read politically charged articles about video games. I really do avoid that like the plague. The only time I ever read it is when I see something particularly egregious, so I could send the link to Shipwreck so he could say, nope. <And that's it. laughs> Because that makes me laugh every time. And that is the only time I read political things on the internet.
And I think it is clear that there is at least some audience for a right-leaning video game site.
I mean, and at the end of the day, is that really all that they want? Because let's be perfectly honest here. We're talking about video games.
Right.
And at the end of the day, it does not matter.
Right. Especially video game, you know, journalism, you know.
Shadows of Mordor is still coming out. No, it doesn't matter. Shadows of Mordor is still coming out on your shelf.
Well, that's
it doesn't matter what anyone writes about it. It doesn't matter what any opinion piece you read on any website means. Because Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment is still making the same video game they were going to make one way or another, because that's what their market research tells them to make, and that's the game they're going to make. It does not matter. We're talking about video games. We're not talking about education. We're not talking about the military. We're not talking about
Actual journalism, you know, regular normal news.
I think exactly that's a little bit short-sighted.
No, it's not. I don't think it's short-sighted at all. There is nothing of import at all.
I think what Wombat is
saying, any video game website.
That's not what he said. Wombat, I think what you're saying is you can be a super video game fan, hardcore gamer, right? Buying games all the time and not really visit these sites.
Exactly.
And it wouldn't really affect you.
That's
fine.
That's not how that was coming out of Wombat's mouth.
Oh, that's how I heard it.
Okay.
What did you hear?
I heard that it could be interpreted that you were saying that there's no reason to examine the political sides of these games.
It's not that there's no reason. I just don't think it has any value beyond entertainment.
It doesn't affect how you play the game. It doesn't affect your experience playing the games.
It's not going to affect the games that are being made or games that are going to be made 15 years from now.
I think it has an effect on some of how the games are made. Maybe not the big blockbuster games.
The
indie games, it definitely has an effect on those.
Well, indie games are a direct response to this. I don't see this kind of game, so I'm going to make it. But again, we're talking about a very small market share. I mean, that's what independent
Minecraft,
games are.
Minecraft, man, that has a small market share.
Minecraft is
not an indie game anymore.
It's not an indie game.
Dun dun dun. My friend Scott, popular, obviously big gamer, as old school and new school as you come. He plays Destiny. He goes to arcades here. Plays fighting games. As far as I know, he doesn't look at any gaming sites. When I have lunch with him sometimes, and I like to talk about like what's going on in the game industry, he has no idea. He just doesn't give a shit. He just wants to play the games.
Exactly.
And it doesn't affect his enjoyment of the games at all. So, yeah, I think that's a good point, Wombat. And maybe on that bombshell, we should say goodbye. Because this is a long show for us.
It is a long show. We got heated at the end.
Yeah, it's a good discussion.
I think it is a good discussion. I think both sides are wrong. So sue me.
So you're saying we should just delete all the game sites from the game news?
No, I know.
Bombshell.
Exactly.
Ending. Anyway, yes,
fire them all.
Follow us on Twitter, TBD, Wombat 5277, Shipwreck, add video game deals, blah, blah, blah. Anything else we need to plug? No. Well, we will see you guys next week. I'll be playing more Forza.
Bread's done.
Hello, everyone. I am TBD from CheapAssGamer.com and the CADcast Video Game Podcast, and I'm here today to talk to you about a very important issue. During the latest CADcast, episode 149, one of our listeners points out that he believes that I farted at the 21 minute and 25 second mark of the show. And you can see right here, this is from Ty23, and he blames me for the fart. Now, I just wanted to assure you, the CADcast listener, that if I indeed do fart during a CADcast, I will let you know. I will announce it. That is the CheapED promise. If I fart, I will let you know. Now, I am about to prove to you that this fart indeed belongs to Wombat. And if we take a look at the actual raw file here, top track is me. The bottom track is Wombat. We can listen to it right here. I'm going to highlight the segment, and hopefully you can hear it.
It is, huh? It hasn't been so spectacular yet.
Mm-hmm. Now, you might have just missed it. But you can actually visualize the fart right here. Do you see it? That is Wombat's audio track and Wombat's fart. Now, I'm going to isolate the fart for you now so we can enjoy it. And I will increase the volume a little bit too as well. Mm-hmm. Oh, can you hear it? Mm-hmm. That is crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to even put it on a loop right now. Mm-hmm. Well, I think I've proved without a doubt that this fart does belong to Wombat. In fact, he admitted that he had broccoli for dinner tonight. So that's about it from the CADcast today. Remember the CheapED promise. If I fart, I will let you know.